We are beginning a new series that I've entitled Just Connect. Just Connect. And so this is a series that that I had purposed in my heart, actually, really, on January the 1st of this year to teach. And I'll tell you what prompted it. As I was watching the Today Show that morning, every year they have this Bishop Timothy Dolan out of a cathedral there in New York, and he was talking about the word for the year was connection. And as soon as he made that aware, or you know, that would be a good goal for all of us to strive for and put on our goal list, it really made a lot of sense to me. How many of us know that now we have technology to connect with the world? But the irony of all that is we are less connected than ever. Amen? You know, I once heard it said that as our phones get smarter, people get dumber. Yep. Who would agree with me on that? Yes. Some of the stuff that is sent on the phone is kind of crazy. And so we are less connected than ever. We have all the media, all the technology to connect with most anybody in the world. And yet, we are less connected than ever. So we're going to do this series on Just Connect. And we'll talk about connections in different areas. This morning we will talk about connecting with Christ. Okay, this is very, very important, because if we're not connected with Christ, how many of y'all know that all the other connections that we have in our lives will not really be as meaningful as they can be? Amen? Mark chapter 12, let's begin reading with verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.'" This is what is commonly known as the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And he goes on, verse 30, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." So when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared question him. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for these commands, Lord, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, with all our understanding, and Lord, to love one another, our neighbors, as we love ourselves. Father, truly therein lies the connection to real living, to abundant living, to meaningful living. And we give you thanks for all this, Lord God, in Jesus' holy name. Give us minds to understand, eyes to see, ears to hear. Teach us, Lord, by your word and by your spirit. Amen. How many of y'all have ever met someone who has survived a lightning strike? You have? I was at a barber shop this was back when I lived in Lincoln. It was I can't remember what day of the week it was, but it was Saturday morning, actually. And I was waiting in line for the barber to be done with the next client, because there was or two ahead of me, and so that I could get my hair cut. And then in walked this pretty gal and her husband. But her husband, you could tell that guy spent a lot of time at the gym. He was pretty buff, but he was on crutches. And I remember he had lacerations in his arms. He had lacerations in his face and so on. And they sat next to me, and you know, somehow we sparked a conversation, and the wife was telling me, somehow it came up that because the husband was talking to one of the barbers, one of the barbers was his friend, so the wife was telling me that he was out on an ATV one afternoon, and that it was a little overcast, but there wasn't any thunder and there wasn't any lightning per se, but that as he was there, he got struck by lightning. He was unconscious, and you know, I engaged him to find out more. He said that he doesn't remember anything. He just remembers waking up at a hospital bed, and the doctor said, "You're very lucky to be alive." And how many of y'all would agree with the doctor that people normally do not survive lightning strikes, unless you're that dude from The Great Outdoors? How many of y'all watch that movie, The Great? You know, you never know what's going to come out, right? Exactly. I survived 66 lightning strikes or something like that, right? Did I get it right, brother?
I think so.
Okay. So people normally don't survive lightning strikes, but this guy had, and you know, it got me to thinking that though there wasn't lightning, you know, science will tell you, you don't have to see visible lightning, you don't have to hear thunder for the conditions, listen carefully, for the conditions to be ripe for a lightning strike. How many of us know that we, our physical bodies are comprised of 60% water? How many of you know that water is a great conduit for electricity? That's all it really took for the conditions for lightning to strike is to have plenty of water, because electricity flows well through water. And so that's what caused that lightning strike. These people were believers and they had given God the glory that he was alive. He was barely walking. You know, he had crutches that he had to walk on. But he was thankful. Now, so that lightning struck him because the conditions were right. Lightning cannot strike just anywhere. Lightning really can't strike today. The conditions have to be right. So if we want to be connected to Christ, we have to have the right conditions for that connection to happen. There have to be the right conditions for that spiritual electricity, that spiritual life force that comes from the presence of Christ through His Spirit into our spirits, for us to be connected and be, as 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, one spirit with the Lord. That's a powerful thought, church family. If you never thought about that, listen, Jesus and you are one spirit. You know, we always quote that verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you? Therefore glorify God with your body and your spirit. Well, you know, verse 17 says that in that temple of your body only dwells one spirit, and that one spirit is your spirit melded together with Christ's spirit. Wow. Jesus didn't move into a duplex with you, right? You are one in spirit with the Lord. So there is a spiritual miracle that happened when you gave your life to Christ. Now, there have to be the right conditions for you to remain connected to Him. Because how many of y'all know that salvation is not once upon a time I prayed a prayer, once upon a time I fasted, or once upon a time in camp when I was a kid I went forward, I got baptized. It's not that. It's ongoing relationship. You know, if there's one question that I've been asked the most as I've been in ministry my adult life is, how do I get closer to Christ? how do I develop that connection with Christ? I want to know Him. I want to experience Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to grow in my faith. You know, I see other believers and they have so much more peace than I do. I see other believers and they have so much more spiritual strength than I seem to have. I see other believers and they seem to know the Bible better than I do.
Yoo-hoo.
And there's an unshakableness. How many of you would agree with me, church family, that when there's a believer that is truly connected to Christ, there's an unshakableness to their faith? Yo, baby, they've been around the block and they know who their source is. And no bad news can rattle them to the core. It might surprise them. But after hearing the bad news, they go to their source and draw strength from that connection. Right? How many of y'all know that connection is invaluable to our spiritual lives? But the conditions must be right for us to... Listen, the Lord established that condition upon salvation. He made us one spirit with the Lord. We have to maintain that connection. So if the conditions have to be right, condition number one for you to have a connection with Christ, maintain a connection with Christ, you have to have desire. You have to desire it. You know, I've been walking with the Lord since, gosh, it's almost, what, 40 years? That's a long time. And you know what I found about my walk with God is God doesn't give me stuff because He wills it. I've got to want what He's got. Amen? The Bible says, draw near to God in 1 John, or not 1 John, James 4:8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. But who takes that first step? I take that first step. We take that first step. Now, here's the good news about that. Your one step towards the Lord is actually two in reality. Because as you take one step closer to Him, He does what? He takes one step closer to you. But we determine that. We determine how close of a connection we have with Christ, don't we, church family? We have to have desire. Everything in life begins with desire. New creation is on their journey to better health in 2020. Praise the Lord. I'm proud of you guys. But it had to start with a desire, right? No? It got really quiet. How many of y'all know, baby, that a lot of people live with a wishbone, but they have no backbone? I wish this, I wish that, I wish my life was better. And you ask them, what are you doing to make it better? I don't know, but I just wish. Am I right?
Amen.
People live with a wishbone, but they have no backbone. Now I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's go back to desire. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter 2, and I'm going to read two verses, verses 2 and 3. Notice, as newborn babes, desire, everybody say desire.
Desire.
Desire the pure milk of the word that you may what?
Grow
thereby. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now those two verses are kind of said kind of a little in reverse order. It really should, the thought should read like this. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, which is salvation. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Right? Desire. Another translation uses the word crave. How many of y'all know that babies crave milk?
Yeah.
When they're hungry, they let their mamas know, yo, it's dinner bell time. So the babies crave the milk. There has to be a desire, church family. Listen to me. Let's go back to the wishful thinking. I can spend the rest of my life wishing something, but unless I do something about it, how many of y'all know that wish dies at nothing? Nothing is ever done if I wish I was closer to Christ, if I wish I had more peace in my life, if I wish I could do this, if I could do that, if I wish. That's just a wishbone. We want a backbone, which leads to the second condition that must be right, and that is discipline. All these three begin with the letter D. You know, I wish that when I was a 15-year-old kid, when I gave my life to Christ, I wish somebody would have told me that the Christian life and a connection with Christ would require discipline on my part. It requires discipline. What I mean by that is, how many of us know that we pray not just when we feel like praying, or we should pray not just when we feel like praying. We should read our Bibles regularly. I do it on a daily basis. My little app tells me that I've been doing it for a couple of hundred, over 300 days in a row that I've done it without skipping one day. But that we should do it not because we feel like it, or not because, okay, maybe today I have a little more time to get in my Bible. No, you do it because it's the right thing to do, whether you feel like it or not, whether you are getting something out of what you're reading or not. Amen. It's a spiritual discipline. I don't get much out of it. Well, first off, with that kind of attitude. Baby, it's called the discipline. You do it because it's the right thing to do. How many of y'all, maybe only Terry eats delicious meals. He's a good cook. But every day, I don't. But how many of y'all know I still need the meals whether I think they're tasty or not? You know, some days, like the other night, I had ramen noodle soup with tuna fish for supper. That was it. You don't like that? I'm training for a race. You don't like the ramen noodles? I need carbs. Scott understands. What's that, hon? You run it off. Okay, let's move on. See, I'm a cuisine. You're going to have to teach me a thing or two, Terry. But it's called discipline. Listen, John chapter 8, let's just go with me there. Let's look at it. John chapter 8, this is very, very important to see. So we go from desire then to discipline. Desire then to discipline. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my what indeed? You are my disciples indeed." That word abide means meno, to remain in my word. If you remain in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And the next verse says, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But in order for verse 32 to be real to us, we must do what in verse 31? If you abide, if you remain in my word. Well, I don't have time for the Bible. But you sure want to get close to Christ, don't you? Oh, yes, I want to get close to Christ. Joe, I read the Bible. It doesn't make sense to me. Look, start with the book of John. Start simple. But get in there somewhere. Read it every day or frequently. 5 times a week, read it frequently. Now, here's an interesting observation about the word disciple. You know, I was looking at the word discipline. And the word discipline in the Latin means discipulos. The word discipline means discipulos, from whence we get our word disciple. Do you know that? You can't be a disciple of Christ if you don't have personal spiritual discipline. Amen. Can I say that? Nobody get mad at me? It requires discipline. So let's go back to the wishbone. Discipline is the backbone to your desire. In it? I desire something, but am I working towards it? Am I wanting something enough? This is the way, as a runner, we have these little runner sayings. You would probably acquainted with this one, Scott, that goes, discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. Think about it. Do I really want to be close to Christ? Do I really treasure His Word? Do I just read it to get my little quota done and over with? I was talking to one of my buddies down in Effingham. I went to go get my taxes done. And great guy. And he says he reads through the Bible in 6 months. I said, whoa, you are a black belt Bible reader. I said, I don't. I read a chapter a day. And you know what? A chapter a day works for me. Maybe his reading through the Bible in 6 months works for him. Whatever works for you, church family. But can I suggest something? Don't just read one little verse a day. Oh, here's my verse of the day. Okay, that was it. No. How many of y'all have found the more you learn about God, the more you feel like you don't know anything? Right? I'm like, I read something and then it jumps off the page and I'm like, where has this been all my life? But you know, it's been there for hundreds and thousands of years. That's where it's been. It's just, you haven't accessed it yet. So discipline. So if we start with desire, what's the second right condition? The conditions have to be right for that connection. Then there has to be discipline. Now here's the interesting thing, church family. When we practice desire, we get into discipline. And if you add those two together, it'll lead to the third D. It'll become delight. See, we want to jump from desire to delight and skip discipline altogether. Can I get an amen in the house? Right? Does that work? I was doing some banking the other day, and the teller, very nice girl, friend of mine, and I was telling her, she said what I had planned that morning. I think it was a Friday morning. And I said, oh, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to run 10 miles. She's like, oh, I'm jealous. I wish I was fit like you. She went on and on. I'm like, well, you can be. Oh, no, I don't want to hear it. I want your fitness, but I don't want the work that goes into that fitness. I want your relationship with God, but I don't want the work that goes into that relationship with God. Yoo-hoo. How many of y'all know that sometimes it requires sacrifice? A lot of sacrifice, that's right. But you know, the scripture that jumps out at me is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. So my question is, how badly is the desire to have that, maintain that connection with Christ? You know, I hear people say, and I want to say this ever so compassionately, people say, well, it's hard for me not to worry. Okay? You know, that's a part of our human condition. That's fair enough. But how many of us believe that the closer we get to Christ, the less we will worry? Only half of you believe that. May I ask that again? How many of y'all believe that the closer you get to Christ, the less we will worry? Amen. Amen. I think that is a telltale sign of how close we are to Christ. But I think it's true. I think peace, inner peace, is a great sign, a telltale sign of how close we are to Christ. You know, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, I believe it is, it says, great peace have those who love your word. and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have those who love your word, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. That's quite a promise, church family. Isaiah 26:2, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but through everything, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. Verse 8, and the peace of Christ that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How many of y'all know that I'm not making these statements out of the air? These are grounded in Scripture. So if I want more inner peace, then I've got to get closer to Christ. And if I've got to get closer to Christ, then I've got to meet the right conditions, don't I? But when I meet the right conditions, there is delight. I delight in His Word. There are days that I read it and I'm just blown away. Wow, this is really cool. There are other days that I'm like, okay, I've read that I don't know how many times. I've read it, I know it. But still, I'm still putting His Word first place in my life. Amen? So, when you meet the right conditions, church family, lightning can strike at any time. And I want to believe that that lightning is a greater connection with Christ. And for me, and I want to encourage for you, for the remainder of 2020, meet those conditions, desire, discipline, and delight. And make sure that come December 2020, that your life is far better off spiritually than it was on March 1st of 2020. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for a connection with Christ. Help us to meet the right conditions. Lord, we desire it. Help us with discipline, because we want to reach that stage of delight. To you be all the glory, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.